Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I want to look at God's Word, and I'd like us to read a scripture together. Mr. Swaney, if you would. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is a good portion of that verse. I'd like us to read it together. And I'd like us to stand up this morning. Could you stand back up just for a moment? Yes, those of you who can. And I'd like us to read this together. Are you ready? One, two, three. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Dot, dot, dot. Did you get C's in your class?
No.
I'm kidding. All Scripture. All. Say the word all.
All.
Is God-breathed. Say it. God-breathed. Came from Him. Right? Useful. Another key word. Say it. Useful.
Useful.
To teach me.
Teach me.
Don't say teach you. Teach me.
Teach me.
Rebuke me.
Rebuke me.
Let's say that one again. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful to rebuke me. Say it.
Rebuke me.
Correct me.
Correct me.
Which kind of fits with rebuke, right? It's a little different because, you know, correcting is, I want to correct this information. And sometimes that's a little more pleasant. Rebuking has the context of being a little more confrontational, Garrett. It's the difference between your parents going, hey, Garrett, come here. What's your middle name?
Philip.
I wonder where you got that from. See, correcting would be Garrett, but rebuking would be Garrett, Philip. Get the difference? Yeah, there you go. All right. And for training me to be right. Say it, to be right. How many of you like to be right? Come up. Oh, a couple honest people. Well, semi-honest. They only raise their hand this high. How many of you like to be right? Put your hand up. I heard that, Andy. Come on, if you like to be right, put your hand up. Severo, put your hand up. You did have it up? Not long enough. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with her. Listen, we like to be right. If you are in, listen, if you are in opposition to God's word, I want to let you know, you will have no joy because you are not right. I am not right. Well, I'm kind of mostly right. If you are in opposition to Him, you are not going to be right. I don't care how much you think you're right, and I don't care how wonderful and articulate your argument is. I don't care how persuasive it is. I don't care if you shed a tear. I don't care if you prayed about it. Listen, just because you pray about something doesn't mean that you're going to be right about it. Smile at the person next to you and say, we're off to a good start. Let's read it one more time. One, two, three.
Rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Amen. Where's that scripture found? You can be seated if you'd like. If I said, where's that scripture found? And you said, I don't know. It was at the bottom here. You can leave that up there for the whole message, Mr. Swaney. Thank you. I'm going to make reference to some other scriptures as we go throughout this morning. I'll just kind of mention them and read them. I may have you turn to one more. We'll just kind of see how this goes this morning in the way of time. We like to be right. To be right, we must be trained. But we also have to be trained in what's right. Because we can be trained. Do you know that, you know, you can practice something and practice it wrong? You can. You can, and be sincere about your practice. Listen, I've golfed with many of you. You practice, but you keep practicing the wrong thing. Right? And you're sincere about your practice, but your swing is ugly. And it matches your score. Now you think, who are you? I've golfed with you, Pastor. Listen, I got a Harley now. I have not golfed this year. Well, part of that, I was a little bit laid up for a while, you know, taking down a deer stand. By the way, some of you have come to me and said, so, are you bow hunting this year? You're doing it from the ground, you know. No, my stand is up. It's in a tree and did it myself. And I'll be honest, just climbed up. And, you know, sometimes you don't know how you're going to feel about something. And it was kind of, I was thinking, you know, kind of some coming up to that time, kind of like, you know, I wonder how I'm going to feel about that. And I was mostly through it and said, boy, this isn't bothering me at all. Of course, I didn't fall up to that point either, so I, you know, but grateful to be doing that. But trained in what's right. You know, it's interesting. We see this incredible trend happening. Specifically in America, it's, you know, where we live, so we'll just kind of address it that way. Not that it's not a global thing, but you see this trend in the food that's being presented to us because there is a demand for it. And we, of course, who are from this area, we live right in the middle of, you know, Organic Valley territory. You know, organic food, because, you know, it doesn't have all that added stuff in it, right? Organic. And now just hang on. If you're not eating organic food, just, you know, settle down. This is not a sermon about eating organic food. All right? And those of you who are very healthy people and conscious of what you eat, and you're just very organic yourself because that's all you eat is organic, then that's great. And, you know, pray for the rest of us. So, yeah, it's just interesting to me that we get kind of organic. Isn't it? No, we're getting organic milk to you know, dip our Oreos in. You know, dunk the Oreo in my organic milk. So, you know, this trend to you know, kind of be organic in what we eat, and it's healthier. And listen, I'm not making fun of it. And for those of you who are a little bit negative or realistic or cynical, however your view is about what is organic and what's really organic, and, well, it's not really organic because, you know, you've got geese that are flying from other fields miles away that aren't organic and landing in your organic field, and and you got deer running from over, and and then the wind blows, and of course it blows hard, and however you look at this, we're just looking at the principle here, and want to share with you something. And now, those of you in this room who are farmers, you are way more familiar with this than me. So please. You don't need to write me a long essay and hand me all of your books or any of that. I'm just making a reference here this morning, okay? And don't pretend to be an organic specialist at any level. Organic certification. It is a process for producers of organic food and other organic agricultural products. In general, any business directly involved in food production can be certified, including seed suppliers, farmers, food processors, retailers, restaurants. Requirements vary from country to country and generally involve a set of production standards for growing, storing, processing, packaging, and shipping that include, and these are just a couple of things it includes, not the extensive list, the avoidance of synthetic chemicals inputted, whether it's through fertilizer, pesticides, antibiotics, food additives, etc., etc., genetically modified organisms, irradiation. Did I say that right, Dennis? No? What's that? Let me spell it for you. IRRADIATION. So if that's how you say irradiator, irradiation, is that better? Okay, irradiation, there we go. Hey, listen, I made it through the third grade. And use of sewage sludge. Makes you rethink the Oreo. Okay. Use of farmland that has been free from prohibited chemical inputs for a number of years, often three or more. And the list goes on. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'll read this. You don't have to try to quickly turn there. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you. And do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. How many of you would like to actually be a recipient and have what you receive manifest in your life that God has promised you? Would you like that? Some of you are not even sure what some of those promises are. I'm still learning them myself. Know some of them. But for that to happen, I'm supposed to listen to his commands, his word, which came from him, that is useful to teach me, rebuke me, correct me, and train me in what's right so that I can be a recipient of the promises. And that will happen as long as I do not add to or take from, that I, in my spirit, return to the organic word of God. That we become more and more an organic church. Now, I'm not talking about what you buy at the grocery store or the market. I'm talking about being the organic church, the early church. It says in Acts chapter 4 that they devoted themselves when they, or sorry, Acts chapter 2, when they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, who were the ones that were hanging around with Jesus? Heard it firsthand. The apostles, other than Paul. And I'm not going to talk about Paul this morning, though he is, as I've shared before, one of the greatest proofs of the resurrection of Christ, though he was not one who walked with Jesus. And you'll have to go back in the podcast and listen to that. I'm not here to debate and argue that this morning with anyone. Here are the apostles. They heard it firsthand. They continue to pass on that which they heard. Not adding to it, not taking from it, but very organic in its nature. Our culture and society, if we can use the parallel this morning of the food that is processed and is added to, that hinders the good that's in it for us, and it's like taking things out. I wonder if our culture and our deduction of life and what we experience, somehow we try to add to it to justify the way that we live, the way that we think, to justify our own desires, to make it sound good, to make it palatable, to try to ease our conscience and explain away Holy Spirit conviction. Because I will be the first to admit that, you know, there are things in His Word that bother me, that upset me, that, you know, through times in my life I've not really wanted to obey, or I look as an option, or I look at, well, I'll get to that down the road. Or how do I do that now when I'm so entangled in my life? I'm so entangled in my mess. How do I get from here to what God says? I want you to know that whatever you face is not a new problem for God. He is not wringing His hands wondering, oh, gee, what am I going to do? He knows how to untangle us. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to inspire us at the moment we need it. You and I always think that we need to know the whole plan first. If we will maybe just get in His Word and get to know Him and trust Him, knowing that He will share with us along the way, and the moment we need it, He will provide it. Sometimes He shares with us in advance. But how can I ask Him for some great and special revelation about my life and what I'm facing when I'm not even being faithful with what He's given me in His Word? It's like, I don't want to discipline myself or really know, you know, all of this and, you know, grow in this and have it affect and change my life. I would just like you to kind of spoon feed me over here and just help me how to get through this problem. I don't know that that's really fair of us. Not that we have to be fair. We know that God is filled with grace and mercy and does both of those things. I'm not suggesting to you that we have to know His entire Word before He brings us revelation in some specific instance in our life. He will do that. But if that's the only thing I'm living on and not feasting regularly upon His Word, there is a real disconnect for me, for us. Proverbs 30, verse 6, it says, do not add to His Word, or He will rebuke you. Brock Robert Floyd, that is not what I said. See? I was talking to my son. He has two middle names. Now you know them. See, that would be rebuke and correct, and what we're reading in Proverbs 30, it says, do not add to God's Word, or He will rebuke you, and I love the last part, and prove you to be a liar. Organic certification addresses a growing worldwide demand for organic food. It's what an irony to me that the world is beginning to demand for organic food for our body, and at the same time, there is not this demand for the organic word of God to make my spirit and soul healthy. Isn't that a funny twist of humanity and the work of darkness against God's creation that he loves? That there is this growing demand for organic food. It is intended to assure quality and prevent fraud and to promote commerce. Well, let's look at that as God's organic word. That his organic word is to prevent fraud. The other things in our life that we gain our philosophies from, the pollutions of the thoughts of this world. His word, his organic word, the purity of his word is supposed to prevent fraud in my thinking, in my life. To prevent me from buying in to things that look like they're a good idea. That is the standard of his word. Listen, he created us. Body, soul, and spirit. He created us. He knows how we are supposed to function and how we are supposed to work and how we are supposed to live. He knows how to redeem us. His word is supposed to prevent us from fraud. Go back to the garden. God's command was, you can eat anything in the garden except don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from the tree of life. There was God's word. If Adam would have obeyed it, I'm leaving Eve out of this. If Adam would have obeyed it, it would have prevented him from living in the fraud that was presented him. He throws Eve under the bus. This woman you gave me. He didn't say, oh yeah, that command you gave me. His word prevents us from fraud. You remember that. I have to remember that. His word prevents me from fraud. Something that looks good, sounds great, appeals to me, right? Appeals to me. Woo. That is not good for me. It is not right for me. Now, I have to know his commands first. I have to understand his word and who he is first. And you and I, we don't even have to be presented by the world with fraudulent ideas. We can come up with them ourselves. We have somewhere hurt or damage in our past. And through the experiences of our life, we begin to come up with ideas of how we can now function and how I can now live. And this is my history, so this is what I've become, and therefore it is acceptable, and everybody else can just tolerate me and understand me. And if they don't, too bad for them. They're wrong. It's my way. That is a fraudulent idea that did not come from the world. It came from within us. And if we will go to his word and know God and his nature, it will prevent you and I from having fraudulent ideas take our lunch money at morning recess. It says here that the certification of what's organic prevents fraud because there's a standard, and it promotes commerce. Now, I want us to put that in the context of God's Word this morning, because His Word is pure. It is organic. It is His Word. He is pure. He is without sin. It is impossible for God to lie. And so, His organic Word, nothing added to it, nothing taken from it, it will prevent you and I from fraud, and it promotes commerce. That is the evangelistic part. The purity of His Word. The purity of His Word, nothing added to it, nothing taken from it, allows His Spirit to go forth and work in the hearts of humanity. That the seed of His Word takes root, and it can grow, and the message of salvation is heard, and the keeping power of God in someone's life can be heard and understood until the end of this life as we know it, or the rapture, whatever comes first, and on into eternity. The purity of His Word. I'm so grateful that we live in the region of the organic valley, that you and I can maybe grasp this morning quickly and easily, because we're all affected, those of you who are from this area. You know the company. You're familiar with it. You see their products in the store and in the gas stations. You see it. I want you to, every time you reach for something, you go past the dairy section or whatever section it is that's selling something organic, every time you see the organic gluten-free chip that tastes like cardboard, you... I take that back. She has brought in, which one is that? It tastes really good, and it's like gluten-free organic, some kind of chip. What's that? I don't know where they're from. I didn't... You shop. What's that? She does that. I'm not good at that. I don't know what they're called. Fritos. I got to tell you something. Here's the deal, too. You know, I'm glad you bring up Fritos. Okay, so here's the deal. Why is it? Now, you've got to be on the organic, gluten-free train for a while, and then it starts to like, okay, this is what I eat, and so my body is now trained, and this is what I kind of start to crave. But when you kind of start it, or you do it a little, and you're dunking Oreos in organic milk, it just, it does not, it's like you do good, but why does a McDonald's Big Mac and fries taste so good? And listen, I have not eaten McDonald's for a long time until recently. And I use the excuse that my wife needs the Monopoly pieces. I eat it, it tastes so good. And then 30 minutes later, I don't feel so good. The organic stuff, it doesn't taste very good. But 30 minutes later, I'm not sick. I'm not feeling nauseous. I don't feel bloated. Not that you're asking about how I feel after I eat. Listen. The organic Word of God, nothing added to it, nothing taken from it. Listen, you and I, we don't feel like we can add to God's Word sometimes, but how much do we take out of it that we don't like? Listen, this is all of it. You don't get to pick and choose what you want to believe. Just because, and by the way, just because you refuse to take it out and not believe it or allow it to come in and change your life, or for me to allow it to come in and change my life, does not negate the fact that it's still true. If I just ignore it, it doesn't exist. Really? You ignore your XL energy bill? I want you to know, after a while, your electricity won't exist. Consumers of God's Word, in other words, those that consume it, don't think in retail terms. We consume it. We're okay? In that context, in the organic business world, it's a consumer must rely on this third-party certification. In other words, someone regulating it. It's where we went wrong in church history, because people were uneducated, and we can't blame them. It wasn't offered to them. It had to do with poverty and riches and etc. That they had to go simply upon what they were told. And that is why it is so important for you and I to study on our own. If we have a measure of education, we can do it and allow the revelation of God. The other part is we have a responsibility to go back to God's pure word, the organic church, pure in its birth, okay, from the beginning. They held to the apostles' teaching, the third party, but the third party there, okay, was a party that walked with Jesus, and they were very careful and walked under a conviction to closely so pass on the purity of the organic gospel. You and I are a third party for people. Don't just pass on what you heard. Just somebody say that sounded good. Well, we can use it if it's organic, if it's pure. But pass on the purity of His Word to people. To encourage others. To share the gospel with some. Because this brings product assurance. When we see it in another person's life, there's an assurance of a product that's there. God's Word, the organic Word of God, has produced fruit in your life that people will say, if they tell me this, whether I believe it or not or agree or not, I do see a quality in their life that matches what they say. And many times, for some, they need to see the quality before they hear the message. They need to see the quality before they hear the message. Now, granted, that's not always the case. They are just going to hear the message because we're passerbys and it was an opportunity. But where we live in our communities and our neighbors and our schools, they should recognize a quality in us as they hear the message so that they see it matches. See? The purity of God's Word. It's organic. You and I cannot add to it and take from it. Just because you look back on your life and you want to figure something out that happened. I appreciate that. There are things I want to figure out. Why did that happen? Why, I don't know, why me? Or I was just a victim. Where was God? How come they did this? They were evil. Oh, they were in the church. Or they said they were a Christian, but this is how they treated me or conducted their life or how they hurt me or whatever it is for us. And so from that, we try to gather some reasons together. And now that many of us become Christians at some point, you know, we just kind of try to chalk it up as, you know, God's will or God, you know, there must be something in it for me, or, you know, we just kind of ignore it or whatever it is. And through this, we deduct life and function life. Though we have faith in Christ and redeemed, we carry this with us and it's unresolved, or we come up with our own deductions that sound good to us why that's happened. And we come up sometimes with very fraudulent ideas. Things that we think try to put our soul to rest, and that, you know, we got to have closure on it. I appreciate closure. I like closure. Nice, neat package. But you know what? There's a closure that's yet to come. And if some things stay open without closure until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know what? I'm good with it. Because when I reach eternity, the things that have happened in this life, they're not going to matter to me anymore. So I need to practice living free from it now. And it's not to pretend. I need to look at life through the scope of who God is and His Word, not look at His Word through the scope of what's happened to me. Why should this life be the filter for God's Word when God's Word is from Him, and this should be the filter by which I interpret all the things that happen in my life? That'll keep me from fraudulent thoughts. You know, it's interesting when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and it says, all scriptures God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us in righteousness, or to be right and to live right, and to be transformed into rightness. It's interesting that just previous in the letter, he writes and says, there will be terrible times in these last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. In other words, you know, hey, they're in the church. They profess His name, but they deny His power. The power to be transformed, the power to be changed. They live on in this list. And, you know, he lists a bunch of things here. The list is more extensive than this. He could have kept going. And that in that passage and in his writing, he then transitions into, hey, don't let your ears be tickled by these fraudulent ideas. Because the scripture has been God-breathed. It's not separate passages. They're not in separate books. They're not in a separate letter. They are in one letter, written by Paul to Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that in that same letter, in the context, this is the kind of days that will come. This is how people will be who proclaim God, because they have added to it and they have taken away from it, and they've picked and chosen what they want to hear and what they want to obey and what they allow themselves to be transformed. What's comfortable? What's easy? He says, no, all scriptures God breathed, and it's useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking. So that those who function like this, those of us, you and me, who have traits of this list in the early part of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, that we can be changed and we can be transformed. Because we're not just proclaiming God, but we are no longer denying His power, because we no longer deny the access of His words to be transforming in my life. I'm not denying His Word access to me. It is interesting to me We look at culture and society, and we know that it's dark. And it is filled with fraudulent ideas about tolerances and using it synonymously with respect. And all these different things and ideas that come along the way that kind of sound good and tickle people's ears and just provide opportunity for living outside of God's word very easily. Kind of lawlessness to some extent. And yet providing a law for lawlessness, right? Providing a way for it. That's our world. But it doesn't mean that I have to succumb to fraudulent ideas when it comes to living my own life. His word reigns supreme. His word remains forever. Forever. And he will dot every I and he will cross every T. Now he is filled with grace and truth that is part of who he is and part of his word. You can't take it out of there. Some of you love truth and hate grace. Just because you didn't have sex before marriage and you got married and then had sex, you kind of look down on this culture and how it's weaved its way into the church where there are those who are living together, experiencing sexuality, and they are not married. And you look at that. Some look at that and say, well, you know, we never lived together. We never lived together. Did the right thing and got married. Well, listen, you getting married and doing the right thing doesn't mean that's your forgiveness for the sexuality you experienced before you were married. You still need his blood for the forgiveness of that. Don't think, well, we got married and did the right thing. That is not what wipes away your past. It is only his blood. Do you who preach don't steal, do you steal? That's what Paul writes. So, I'm not telling you that these things are acceptable. I'm just telling you that Jesus takes people where they are, rescues them, shows them the way. And if your life is entangled, he knows the way out. You stay close to him, all right? Stay close to him. And just stay away from those who throw stones. His word will convict. We know what it says in all areas of our life. But the things that you have found easy to obey, don't just wave the banner for those things in the face of those who struggle with it. Because when you do that, you are taking things out of his word. When he tells us how to conduct ourselves with those who are struggling, those who need restoration, those who need reconciliation, those who need help from where they are. Because the reality is, in my life and in yours, there's areas that we need help. And just because yours is a private and someone else's is public does not mean from God's view that those of you who struggle in private are more holy. We are lawbreakers. And we must look at his word and not add to it, not take from it. Don't add something to his word that brings condemnation upon a person because you just added to it. Remember, he came to save and seek the lost. He came to heal those who were sick, broken, injured, hurt. And don't think for a moment when he comes into our life to do that, that we just stay on the injury list. He completes the work he starts. And it's time for you and I to live a healthy life. And what he has forgiven us of and what he has healed us from, which means we must live different. We cannot be healed in whatever he's fixed in us and live with a hurt mindset. Do you hear me? Though he's healed you and you declare it's in the past, it's under the blood and you've gone on and you're all right, don't carry with you the hurt and injured mindset. That has to be transformed so that we learn to embrace God's call in our life, the position he has given us in life, the role he has given us in life, and to be content with it. Be grateful for it. His word does that so that you and I do not fall under some additives and some fraudulent philosophies on how to live and function and how to reason over our desires and our past to justify how we do it, how we live life. He ain't buying it. I want you to know he is not buying it. The people around you might buy it. They might tolerate it. They might, just to keep, things at peace so there's no confrontation. Just kind of keep it on a level like this. Don't want to upset the apple cart, so to speak. All right? Don't want to pull the orange from the middle in the produce section. Get it? Because they all come. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll take the less desirable orange just so that they all stay there and everything remains the same and everything's peaceful because I don't want to upset him or her. Just because people around you are being gracious or they tolerate it does not mean that you are right. You and I must be trained by this so that we live what's right and it becomes right in our life. Would you stand with me, please, all over this room? Sorry. First John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Your flesh may not like it, but his commands are not burdensome. The Ten Commandments are wrapped up in these two: love God, love people. If you love God, we obey him. We love God and we sin, we repent, make our way back because we love him. We love people. It's our worship to the Lord. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Hey, overcomer. Hey, overcomer. Hey, overcomer." You may not feel like one. Listen, let us speak promise and prophetically over you. Through Jesus Christ, if you will allow his commands to transform your life, you are an overcomer. You have maybe never won anything in your life. Well, through him, you are a winner. If you think I'm preaching prosperity gospel, it is because the gospel is prosperous. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe, then you are without excuse. I am without excuse. If I believe in him, I am without excuse to continue to live life under my own fraudulent philosophy and bring my injured mindset with me into my Christian life, because his word has rebuked me, taught me to live different, correct, and to do things right.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.